Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Seeing and Believing. We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because if we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Friends, if you have been worshiping with us during these past several months, you know we've been making our way through the Gospel of John, beginning last December, and it's all been planned that we would hear this reading on this particular day. Well, here again, these opening verses from John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and he believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. Amen. And let us pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for the gift of worship, this opportunity to sit beneath the teaching of your word. May these words come alive for us this day, even as the truth they told came alive on that first Easter day. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together find acceptance in your sight. For Lord, it is you and you alone we desire to please, this through Christ our Lord. Amen. For as many years as I can remember, we have opened our Easter services with this reading from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel. Regardless of the text we were going to use to preach on that particular day, we continue to draw on John's telling to bring us into the glory of this day and the essence of the Christian faith. And it is this: Jesus Christ risen and alive. Why John rather than the other gospel writers? Because in these very few verses, he tells a story like no other, with energy and passion and excitement, as only one who was actually there could tell it. You know how you can always tell when someone is telling someone else's story? There's always a subtle difference in its telling. But John here is telling his own story, and through his telling, it has become our story. This is how he came to faith. And it is his desire that we too might hear and believe it. As he writes, "These words are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." In every sense of the word, that is the story that we have come to hear this morning. No matter how many times we have heard it, because this is the story that has changed the course of human history and has the power to change our lives still today. It was early in the morning on the first day of the week, and though it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb, presumably to finish preparing the Lord's body for burial. Or perhaps only because in her grief she was not quite ready to let go of him. When she got there, she saw that the stone which had sealed the tomb had already been removed. And perhaps only glancing in, she presumed the only thing imaginable, that grave robbers had come and stolen the body. And that would be a not unreasonable assumption. Rather than looking any more closely than she did, she ran to find the disciples, saying, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him." And with that, two of them, Peter and John, began to run for the tomb to see for themselves. Among the 12, there were basically three: Peter, James, and John. who formed this inner circle around Jesus. And of those, Peter had the pole position. He was the first among equals here. However, being the younger of the two, John outran Peter towards the tomb. But then out of deference for Peter's authority, when he got to the tomb, he looked in and saw the linen clothes used for burial lying there. But he stopped before going in, allowing Peter to enter first. Isn't it interesting that John makes certain to tell us, you know, I outran Peter. I got there faster than he did. A little first century spiritual competition, maybe. Maybe a little one-upsmanship on the first Easter morning. Or perhaps because what he saw in the tomb stopped him cold in his tracks. That question is answered for us in just four words. He saw and believed. Or since we know that this is John telling his own story, we could translate this, I saw and believed. And I will admit to you that that very simple phrase was very formative in my own faith development. These four words, he saw and believed, have helped me to say the very same. So, what did he see? What did they see? John writes that they saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So what of that? What is it about that that helped him and me and countless others through the ages to say, now I believe? Consider the way a burial took place in first century Palestine. The body would have been washed and prepared for burial by those who knew and loved the deceased. In this case, Joseph of Arimathea, the one whose tomb they're using. The Pharisee Nicodemus. Together they went and asked permission for the body to be taken from the cross. Perhaps it was Mary Magdalene, perhaps some of the other women. Once washed, the body would then be wrapped in long bands of linen cloth, and at each turn, spices added into each layer, such as the nard that we spoke of, which Mary poured on Jesus' feet on the night in Bethany. That might have been up to 100 pounds worth of spices, all in order to mask the stench of death. That wrapping then would cover from neck to toe. Think mummy. But then there was a different, separate linen cloth that was carefully woven and wrapped around the head. Now think an elaborate turban. The body would then be laid on a platform cut into the tomb, and the tomb sealed with a stone. When Peter and John looked into the open tomb, that's exactly what they saw. The linen cloth, which had covered his body, now lying flat on that platform, like a chrysalis without the butterfly in it. The cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself, that is, not wadded up and thrown into the corner, but carefully, elaborately folded and in its place, separated from the linens which had wrapped his body. Perhaps this is like you're having laid out your Easter outfit last night on the bed in the guest room, as I did. Everything laid out perfectly, so I would forget nothing, the only thing missing, a body in them. This is what those first two saw when they looked into the tomb. This is what they saw and caused them to believe. Not that the body had been stolen. I mean, what thief would take the time to unwrap a corpse? And even if they had unwrapped it, what thief would take time to refold the grave clothes? Not that Jesus had suddenly awakened from a slumber and struggled himself free from grave clothes. particularly not after his having been beaten and flogged and crucified and left in a cold tomb for 3 days. Not that the disciples, or anyone else for that matter, could have snuck in to steal the body in an attempt to stage a mock resurrection in order to deceive others to believe. No, despite all that Jesus had previously told them about what he knew was going to happen that first morning, none of them suspected. They were as surprised and unexpecting as any other when they found the empty tomb. And they were hardly of a mindset to pull off a big deception. Furthermore, no one dies for what they know is a lie. No, none of these, but rather what they saw, which caused them to believe, is that Jesus had not been raided or roused or revived, but risen. Theologian Karl Barth writes, "Christians do not believe in the empty tomb, but in the risen Christ." This does not imply that we can believe in the living Christ without believing in the empty tomb. It forms an indispensable sign which obviates all possible misunderstandings. Or put that same another way, first century Christians did not believe in the resurrection because they couldn't find his dead body. They believed in the resurrection because they did find a living Christ. This is what John saw, which allowed him to believe. And that is why he was able to tell his story with such passion and conviction, and yet so simply. Friends, these few 10 verses change the whole course of human history. This is the evidence of the resurrection which convinced John that Jesus is who he says he is. And this is the invitation which the gospel continues to give to us still today. We too are invited to come and see for ourselves, that we too might come and believe for ourselves. Why did Christianity arise, writes distinguished New Testament scholar N.T. Wright? And why did it take the shape that it did? The early Christians themselves reply, "We exist because of Jesus' resurrection." There is no form of early Christianity in which the resurrection was not the central belief, nor was this belief, as it were, bolted to Christianity on its edges, but rather it was the central driving force informing the whole movement. And it is still today. Take away the Easter story. We're not here today. Take away the resurrection, and Jesus is just another would-be, wannabe Messiah, lost and forgotten in the annals of history. As Paul would write, as Terry just read for us, "If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sin. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we of all people are most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." For John, seeing the grave clothes as he did was proof enough. But one of the most convincing proofs of the resurrection is not what happened on the first Easter morning, but the effect it has had on all those who have come to believe it since. Of course, we can't take the fact of the resurrection out of the equation, but even without yet fully understanding what God had done for Jesus, we can see evidence of this truth rippling through history, lives continuing to be touched and changed by this living Christ. Through the years, I have known so many who have had an encounter with Christ in a way that has touched their hearts and changed their lives. Youth on a mission trip or at a conference, college students who have heard the gospel in new ears and new eyes, men and women who have been befriended by another and literally loved into the kingdom. Some who have sunk so deeply in their lives and then have heard this good news in such a way that they've been given new life. And even those like myself who have had the privilege of hearing the gospel message, been blessed with the gift of faith. Each of them, each of us, can tell our own stories in our own words, different as our experiences may be, of how Jesus rose out of the pages of Scripture and became living and real in our own lives, which has enabled us to say, I saw and believed. But what of those who have never had such an open tomb-like encounter with Christ? Are we left out if we haven't had a markable or remarkable experience, as did Peter and John and Mary and Paul? Absolutely not. For notice that even in this story, Peter and John both saw exactly the same thing. Open tomb, grave clothes lying in place, body missing. Yet we read that only John saw and believed. Peter does not. At least he does not yet. And we know that the disciple Thomas struggled with doubts, about which we will talk in a couple of weeks. For some of us, seeing is believing. But for others of us, it is believing that allows us to see. St. Augustine writes, understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but to believe that you may understand. Do we have questions and doubts about matters of faith? Of course we do. But seeking to believe, even before we fully have all of our questions answered, allows us to see evidence of God at work in ways which are beyond our understanding. For John to say he saw and believed doesn't mean that all of his questions were answered. I think it might be more honest to say he had more questions after that experience than he did going into it. For him and for all of us, faith is ever an unfolding, ever deepening experience of coming to know who Jesus really is and what he has done for us. But it all starts right here on the first Easter morning. When John or when any one of us says we believe, in essence what we are saying is we believe that Jesus really is who he says he is. That by being raised from the dead, we believe that he really is the Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah sent by God. And believing that, we believe that death really has been defeated. We believe that everything he says is true. That all of the promises that he gives to us about life, abundant and eternal, are assured, and that one day the kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven, that one day the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. All of this we say we believe because of what happened on the first Easter morning. Friends, the invitation of Easter is the same today as it was 20 centuries ago. We are still invited to come, to see, to listen, to explore, to investigate for ourselves so that seeing we might believe, and by believing we might see. By seeking we may be found. By knowing, we may be known. By reaching out in faith, we may take hold of the one who has taken hold of us. All to the glorious end that we might say with John and with the countless through the ages, I saw and believed. And to that we say thanks be to God. Amen. And let us pray. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Open our ears, Lord. We want to hear Jesus. Open our hearts, Lord. We want to see Jesus.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
What good is faith?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
Faith in God is a wonderful gift. At Tab, we desire to be a resource for those who want to grow deep and strong in their relationship with God through teaching, worship, and prayer. But we also know that faith does no one any good if it doesn't help them to become more Christ-like by engaging and serving our neighbors, the community, and the world. Tab has a long history of putting hands and feet to faith through active service and ministry, just as Jesus did. If you'd like to learn more about having an active faith, stop on by or visit us at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8, 9, or 11. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.